host, Britt Dowd. In this show, our goal is to come alongside you, the lawn and landscape business owner, and bring you value in areas that are often overlooked in the green industry. We focus on leadership, communication, and strive to help you grow as a leader so that you can grow your team and your profits. We do this through interviews with other business owners, people who have won in small business in and out of our industry, as well as documenting episodes within our own company here at Green Again Lawn. That's right, we are in the ring with you every day, taking shots on the chin and swinging back even while up against the ropes. Listen in, turn it up, and we know you'll enjoy this show. Thank you for joining us. I am here with my new friend and I don't know, future head of marketing.
Future. the future, so we like to call it.
All right, I'm here with Brian Driggs, and he is in the Green Again corporate headquarters. And Brian, why don't you introduce yourself and tell people what you're about?
Yeah, so I am the founder of Social Funnel Marketing, which I will say marketing is extremely, extremely saturated.
Yeah.
But I've been in marketing for a couple years now. I've been in sales for a long time. Yeah. So I think since I graduated high school, my dad had a business. And I told him, I'm like, hey, let me just go and go door to door and get you some more business.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when it like started. I'm like, well.
What age was that?
I was probably 17. At the time,
yep.
And I think it was like because my brothers did all like the hard work, and I was like, I don't want to like you know get on a roof and do it. Let me just go out and talk to people all day because I can do that.
I love it.
So that was like the start of like what I thought was going to be the path of least resistance, and then it just turned into like people just yelling at me to get off their porch.
So you were your first job was door to door marketing.
Pretty much, yeah. Door to door, I had flyers I made up, and I go to door and I put them on the deal and. And I would never forget that because my friend was like, he goes, hey, man, you can't go on that lady's lawn. And she has like a no soliciting sticker. And I was like, I'll just take my chances. And I go up there and like ring her doorbell and like sit on there. And like I'm like, hey, you know, we're here to tell you about chimney cleaning. And she's like, did you not read the sticker? And I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am. My face was beat red. I was so embarrassed. And ever since that, it's kind of been that like that path of like, I think sales is a little harder than I thought. So you got to earn people's trust. And so I was doing that door to door, not very successful. And as an internet marketer now, I'm like, why didn't I just get on the internet instead of going door to door? It would have been so much easier.
Yeah.
And so then I went to the military. I was a combat medic in the Army. I left, did that thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it was actually crazy.
Hit me with that out of the gate.
Yeah, it was actually crazy how that whole thing happened.
Thanks for your service.
Well, you bet. It was a fun time. Kind of the start up to that, I was in the family business. One of my dear friends was with us too. And then he was a grade above me and he was going to leave for the military. And he actually was like, hey man, I'm joining. You want to join with me? I'm like, no, we're going to make way more money in chimneys. And, you don't want that, you know? Da, da, da. So he goes and, he ends up going to Afghanistan and he actually gets killed in Afghanistan. So it's one of those things like for me personally, it was like it hit me like a rock, you know? So I get that call and then I wait a few months, just ponder. I'm like, do I want to sell the rest of my life? Do I want to do this? Like, what am I going to do at this point? So I decided, you know what? I'm going to join too. And I didn't tell my parents. I went, I joined, swore in. I was a combat medic. Came home, told my mom and dad. And of course, the mom always takes it a lot harder than dad does. Dad's just like, my dad was like, hey, you know, it's going to be awesome. I think you're going to have a fun time, you know? And then went, came back. Home after a couple of years doing that, and it was fun, but I was telling my dad, I'm like, I don't know, man, just something just keeps pulling me back into the family business. Like, I'm just, like, I love people, and I love the business, and I love this, and I go, but I love sales. So I was bound and determined to go out and make some more money for myself. So I went and applied to, like, all these different jobs, and on my resume, I put that I was, like, the, you know, the sales director of my my dad's business. I increased sales revenue by 13% year over year. I mean, my resume was stacked because no one could prove it wrong. Yeah. I just told the receptionist at the home business, I'm like, hey, if anyone asks, this is a copy of my resume. This is all my accomplishments. And of course she laughs and totally got a job way over my head for Tyco Integrated Security. So I worked there and I was like 22, 23 at the time. Didn't really know much about commercial sales, but I was commercial sales job here in Kansas City, talking to companies all day. And that right there was like kind of a big moment for me before, like in the sense of understanding, because I was around guys that had been selling this stuff for a long time. Yeah. And for those of you that don't know, Tyco used to own ADT. And in that kind of sector, I learned a lot, made a lot more money. And that's kind of when the entrepreneurial stuff of like, you know, my dad has his own business and I love working with family. And like one day I want to own my own business. So I actually had the idea. I had the idea here to start an app. And I don't know if I've told you.
No, you haven't.
Okay. So
I'm loving it.
This is actually where I learned marketing. So I was a sales guy before I knew anything about marketing. Mm-hmm. So I started a mobile app and I had this idea because I was like, why do I like sales so much? Like, why do I always come back to just this? Yeah. And it was because of the people. And I'm like, well, why do I like people so much? Like, what is the actual driving factor for me working here? Like that, what's your why, I call it? Like, why do I get out of bed and get dressed every day?
Yeah.
And it all came back to my faith and my relationship with God of like, I'm here to serve people because Christ is here to serve me. And I've had that at the forefront of like, I've been genuinely curious about getting to know people because of that. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about like, when you're curious about someone, people feel that like they know you're genuinely like here to get to know them. Right. Like, and then from there, it's like, if I can serve you, I'm honest. I'll tell you. Yeah. Yep. If I can't, I'm like, yeah, go down the street. I can't help you, man, but we're going to be friends. Like that is kind of my mentality and it served me well. But I wanted a place. I had this idea like off the wall one night. I'm like, I want an app cause apps were blowing up. Yep. I want an app where you could go in for like the church and find a Christian contractor, a Christian business. Because I know that there was like a lot of churches where folks are like, hey, do you recommend a plumber? Do you recommend an electrician? And you know, there's kind of that part where like if the church recommends a guy and he has a bad job, like who's that, you know what I mean? So, And for a lot of folks, the church community is really the only place they go every week.
Yeah.
That's like their kind of second place. So I started an app where it was just Christian businesses. You go into it, you could get a discount and it was supported by churches. Completely like kind of off the wall. I didn't really have like a guideline to stay on. I didn't even know what my business plan was. Like I was just a young 23-year-old kid trying to throw all this stuff together. And so I put it in there and I didn't really own, I leased the app. So it was like a host.
Okay.
So I designed it. I had the ideas behind it. I went in and built it, but another company actually owned the engine that it was on. They were gathering the data. I didn't know this at the time. Cause I'm paying like, you know, $1,000 a month or whatever it is to host this thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh yeah, at 23. I'm like, I probably own this. Not the case. And so I end up going door to door to businesses and I had, you know, I think we had like 90 different companies in there giving discounts from around the metro, and growing. And so I went into a local network, Christian network. And I told them, I'm like, hey, and I did an example of them as our featured broadcast within the app. And I'm like, hey, you guys are our broadcast. Like, we're going to make you the broadcast, and we want to put you in our app. It's going to go to all these people. In exchange, could you put us on your radio station? And the guy's like, yeah, here's $50,000 in marketing.
Wow.
In exchange of value. And that point there was like, what? Like, because I did not think that was going to be the case.
Yeah.
But we had a $50,000 marketing expense through radio ads for a business that I just started like 4 months ago.
Wow.
And I just sold someone on potential value. It wasn't even the value of something yet.
Wow.
So it was like the idea. So that was kind of my like look in the mirror moment of like, you can do this.
Yeah. And that kind of validated those tendencies that you've had towards salesmanship, entrepreneurial tendencies. And I love that.
Oh yeah. It definitely made up for the lady chasing me off her porch, you know, 3 years ago. So,
you know, what's funny about that to circle back to the door knocking. We still do. This is the first year that we haven't done a full season of door-to-door marketing.
Really?
We started off our first 5 years where we were actually door knocking and then leaving print materials. But we still leave thousands of brochures on doors every day.
Yeah.
So I have one story after the other with door-to-door marketing. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners in the lawn care industry can swap stories.
Can relate to that.
Because same scenario for me. When I asked my dad for a pair of shoes, he's like, no, you need to go get a job. He was painting a house at the time. So we've got that mutual experience together. Maybe not chimneys, but painting houses, same. And I went up and I knocked on this lady's door. And it was a duplex. Walked next door, knocked on her door. Her name was Dottie, and she answered. Actually, the duplex next to it said, hey, I don't need your service. This lady here, she's mean as a snake, but she needs it. And oh my gosh, I was panicking. I'm sure my
heart's already racing.
Yeah, racing, upper lip sweating. I knock on the door. She answers. She's like, what do you want? I was like, well, I want to mow your lawn. And she was like, well, I cuss a lot. Does that matter? And I was like, I don't give a shit. She died laughing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that experience, though, it's kind of the same thing I'm sure you had. Like, yeah. The experience, the adrenaline of doing that, getting turned down, the win after doing some of the door knocks, the ability to not have a, like, at that time, I'm like, man, I could take this anywhere. You know, I just made a sale. Imagine if I made 100 sales, 1,000 sales.
Uh-huh.
I think with the salesmanship, with the ability to start a business, that's what we all feel is that passion to create something that's never been created before, and it has no ceiling. And then I think the third part of it that I want to circle back to is the relationship piece. That's where it really solidified, I want to be a business owner. I can add value. I can make as much money as I want, and I can add value through relationships. And when you were telling your story, I was thinking about this. There's a book, Thou Shall Prosper, by Rabbi Lappin.
Okay.
Rabbi Daniel Lappin. And it talks about why are people in the Jewish community more frequent millionaires than other people of different sects, different walks of life. And it's because of their relationships.
Yeah.
They're all coming together in community in one spot,
mm-hmm.
with one faith, trying to help each other. And it's their network. And they're okay with win-win situations.
Oh, 100%. And I agree with that. I cannot agree with that more, for the simple fact that, you know, coming from a family business, if someone was to ask me, like, what would you say, like, a business really is to you? I'll say it's an extension of my family all day long. Mm-hmm. And if you think about that, like, that's really what it is, because I'm at work 8 hours a day, yeah. at least. Yeah. If you own your own business, it's more than 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's something that you're spending time with these people. They are your second family. And as a godly man, person that just genuinely loves and cares about these people, you want what's best for them.
Yeah.
You pour into them.
Yeah.
Same thing for other businesses, is that your business is just an opportunity for you to build relationships.
Yeah.
And as long as you look at it like that, the success comes with that.
Yeah.
If you genuinely care about people, I'm building relationships. Oh, and by the way, I do lawn care, or, oh, by the way, I will do work on your chimney, or, oh, by the way, like, that's the secondary to building the relationship.
Yeah.
People will love you for it. You've built a friend in them. They're going to call you a million times from that point forward, whether you want them to or not. They're going to keep calling.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of, I think, that family mentality of, my business is an extension of my family, yeah. and the more people that I can impact with my second family, my business, the more people that can work in this business and experience that.
And the stigma around sales, and maybe the introverts are out there, or somebody that's not naturally bent towards sales like we are, it kind of crumbles that stigma of sales is something magical that happens and I don't have it in me. When you know that it's a relationship, and the more people that know you, like you, and trust you are going to do business with you, all it is developing a relationship.
We all
have that in us.
Oh, 100. 100%. I cannot tell you how many times I was so scared where, like, I would start to talk and I'm like, can I? Yeah, I can't. I'm sorry. I'll hang up the phone now. And so, like, I would say the biggest part for me, and I'll kind of get into where my stigma, like, if there's any introverts listening right now, this is the part that I need you to, like, get on the same page with me, and this will help you 100% with your sales game. So, to go back to the app, I don't want to get to this part here in a second, yep. but go back to the app. Yep. That, we had all these people in there. I did, like, you know, the 1 million cups talk in front of, by the way, I did a 1 million cups talk. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of 1 million cups, where you come and you share ideas with the local Kansas City market, and people can critique you openly, while you're on a stage pitching your business.
No, I haven't heard it.
I went to this. I spoke. It happened to be the same time the British Council was in town, and they actually came to the 1 million Cup talk. And they lit me up. Everybody just lit me. It was the most, like, my heart was pounding. I was so embarrassed. I get up and pitch my idea. It did not sound good at all. I didn't even prepare it because I do better when I wing things.
Yeah, yeah.
You shouldn't do that when you're talking in front of
the British Council.
The British Council and all of the and all of these entrepreneurial minds that are like, well, how would that work? Why is it just in the church? And why I don't get this? And I'm like, maybe I don't get it either. But you know, it's I'm gonna get off the stage now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, long story short, we made some money from that. It was a fun experience, you know, and companies could almost pay what they wanted to be in it. And I talked to a guy that knew way more about business than I did. And out of St. Louis, I actually called him on, hey, man, can I get your advice? He goes, yeah, I'm in St. Louis. Whenever you're in town, come by and we'll talk. And he owns a company with, I think, like 1,500 employees. And I said, well, yeah, I'm going to be in town this next weekend. Let's chat. I drove from Kansas City to St. Louis just to grab lunch with this guy.
Wow.
Because I didn't, and I got there and he was like, so what are you in town for? I'm like, actually you. And he was like, you drove over here for me? I'm like, yeah, I need your advice. So I laid out my whole business plan and everything. And he was like, so you don't actually own the app. You don't own any of that. I'm like, no, I don't. And he was like, yeah. And we sat and talked. He goes, honestly, I would probably scrap it. Restart. He goes, you've learned a lot. You've grown a lot. You've learned all about marketing. Like I had Instagrams and Facebooks going. I was getting like 10,000 likes per post on Instagram, getting tons of people to download the app. We had like almost 6,000 downloaders. And at the time, it was just like there was no way for me to get a native app, like to own it and do everything I wanted to do. It was going to cost me like $80,000, $75,000, something like that. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do this. So I threw it all away. Buddy of mine.
So right then and there, you decided.
Done. I sent everybody a message.
Ahead and scratch this.
Yeah. And I think I like kind of
had to have been tough.
It was really discouraging because. Yeah. After that, I gave it all up. I was like, you know what? It's not making the money for the amount of work I'm putting into it. It's not showing major profits. I mean, do you structure it as a nonprofit? Do you structure it as a for-profit? Like, how do you – there were so many missing pieces that I didn't understand about mm-hmm. business at the time of building this. I thought as if I had an idea and I sell it, I'll be good.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah.
That behind the scenes, right? Yeah. And so
and I think that's – I mean, that speaks a little bit to the niche because I think what got you into it is what makes you successful. You know, you've got to hustle. You got to make the sales. You got to make the relationships. You saw a need and you added value. So I don't want people to miss that. The other thing that I want them to glean from this is the intentionality.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of us are searching for answers, but they want it to come to them. I won't say they. I'll say me.
Yeah.
Even. I want the answers to come to me. But a lot of times you have to be intentional, lean into it. You made the contact. You reached out. You drove way out of your way to just look for answers. And I think that speaks volumes for me and kind of hearing that story.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you right now, like, there was a time after that where I was almost like, because if you own a business, you know it is kind of like your baby, right? Like,
yeah.
This is, you know, this all came from my passions, my hard work, my heart. It's something that I could leave to my family. It's something that, like, can take care of my family. It's just, it adds value to the world. Like, there's so many reasons why you should care so much about this.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's not yours. And that's something you have to realize. Like, this is, I'm here because God has blessed me and he's running the ship. Whatever he wants is going to happen.
Yeah.
Hey, wanted to pause here and give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Jobber. They have been with us from the get-go on this podcast and have always supported us, have always helped our business, Green Again Lawn. What they do is they make you more professional. They streamline the invoice, quoting, collections, client entry process for you. Give them a shout, www.getjobber.com, and you can do /Britt-Dowd. That's BRITT-DOWD. And you can find a slick discount from the Lawn Care Leaders podcast. So head over there. Thanks, Jobber, for supporting us. We love you guys. Now back to the show.
And I had to really accept that because I was like discouraged. I'm like, man, I can't build a business. Like, you kind of, you have all this doubt now, right? Because I had to give this up. And a buddy of mine was working at a retirement community, And it was a very, very nice retirement community. They were doing sales and marketing or hiring for it. So I put in for it. I'm like, hey, I have a background in sales. With my old resume, it was what was way, you know, qualified. And so I ended up getting the job as in sales and marketing for a retirement community. And I was there 5 years selling like luxury living retirement homes. You know, and these retirement homes, they were very, you know, very, very nice. It was a way different sale than what I was used to. It's long contract forms. They're selling homes to put down deposits. And, and but I will tell you, this is where those introverts need to listen. If you could speak to everybody around you as if they were an 80-year-old sweet woman, you will be as successful as possible. That was like that key moment where, like, whenever I was talking to like a resident that would come in, you know, we'd be chatting, and I'm like, "Oh, hey, Mrs. Prettyman, how are you doing?" You know, and great. And then I was there for like every day doing this for 5 years, to where like I had no off and on switch. I'd be at the grocery store, I'm like, "Hey, how you guys doing?" Like, right, I was chatting to people that talked to me, and I'd treat them all like an 85-year-old, you know, woman. And
it's a different octave.
It's a whole different octave.
You always touch on the weather first.
Yep.
Any doctor's visit.
Man, the weather's really sunshine today, isn't it? They're like, "Oh yeah, great." And it's just, but I laugh so hard because I became, you know, it's like everybody's your grandma. Like if you treat if you really look at it that way, and that's how you treat people, I promise you, your sales are gonna go through the roof.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. That might be our like episode title.
Right.
Treat prospects like your grandma.
Oh, that's funny.
My grandma's one of my biggest fans. It's funny. We have a Wednesday live at 5 for Green Again.
Mm-hmm.
First one on there. First one to comment. That always is on our post. I'm like, "Hey, grandma, love
gotta
you.
Love him."
Yep.
That is awesome.
Biggest fan. All right, man. So cool. So what? I mean, that was pretty recent, right? The tall grass. Assisted living stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, what next?
And
what,
so, yeah. What now? So I listened to a lot of...
turn this off here.
No, you're good. So to be honest with you, like, I learned so much about marketing from having my own app because there was no one to help me with that. So I learned Facebook ads. I learned, you know, a lot about the internet of a way of things, right? And then when I got into the sales, I was able to see a $500 million company and how they run marketing. And so and having the insight and to be able to see like, okay, you know, this isn't small business marketing. This is like large scale.
Yeah.
And you know, it kind of gave me a bird's eye view of like from what a small business is to a larger business. And then like, it was just really some insight on the marketing piece of what's really working today. And you can't learn a lot about marketing when you're talking about retirement homes. You can, but you can't because it's like your average customer is still reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
So it's not the same.
Yeah.
But never to say that I really got into like, I always had that side hustle, right? So I was there working and then on the side, I had a couple clients that I was doing marketing with still from my app that like stayed with me. And I would do their marketing. I was learning, I was growing. And then I kind of like understood that analogy of like, you know, you become more like who your friends are, like be careful of who you choose to hang out with, that kind of thing. Like I never understood that back in the day where I'm like, whatever, my friends are funny.
Yeah.
Now it's like when you're, especially when you're in business, it comes to that service. Like I usually will serve someone, like my friends, I serve them and they serve me.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just the way we operate and I'm around people that I can genuinely learn from. If you're one of those people that's like, "Oh, no one can teach me anything. I've been doing this 30 years. Well, then your business is not going to go forward because you're doing the thing you know what to do. You're not learning what's next, or like what's around the corner, what's new.
Yeah.
So I started hanging out with people that were very, very innovative. They built businesses. I've shared my experiences on failures. I knew how to fail a business. So I was like, now how do I turn this thing around and how do I build a legit one? And it all came off of just, it's very simple. This is the value that I can give to somebody. This is the person that needs that value. Selling, it's easy as long as you care about them.
Yeah.
And then the more people that I hang out with, that I talk to, that know more than me, even in my niche, the bigger my value becomes.
Awesome.
So if I know about, you know, marketing, I know how to run Facebook ads. It's great. But do I understand how to rank SEO?
Yeah.
Well, who do I know that is the best SEO guy that is out there?
Yeah.
I'm going to take him out for lunch and we're going to chat.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk. And before you know it, we're friends. and they're learning, they're teaching me, and then I'm teaching, and then I teach them what I know. And it's that thing of like, you can never stop learning and you never stop building relationships. And as long as that's like fit into your daily schedule, yeah, you should be a sharper business leader. You should be a better, you know, service, you know, person in any trade.
Yeah.
As long as that's the case.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. It seems like the couple items that we keep going back to as we hear your story is, you know, how do I add value?
Mm.
If a guy's sitting out there, what's the value that I can bring to the table? Whether it's I'm the best plumber in town, I stripe up a lawn the best, I'm the friendliest, whatever it is, and then the relationships and kind of the intentionality and thought behind those relationships. What are you thinking about right now? I mean, because it seems like I mean we just met. Hopefully,
yeah,
we'll become better friends, right, throughout this process, but. I mean, what makes you said your why and what gets you up in the morning and keeps you going. What is that for you, and what is your goal, and then what's the why behind the goal? So I picture those as,
yeah,
two different things.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like I have personal and business goals.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have a why behind everything.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know what is that for Brian Driggs.
So mine's going to sound like, I believe in that same thing. I have a goal and then I have a mission, mm-hmm, right? That's what I call them. So, like, I have a goal and then I have my mission.
Yeah.
And usually my goal is to achieve my mission. Like, yeah, they go hand in hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, it's really, mine's really crazy. You guys, like, your listeners probably think I'm nuts right now. But, so, for me, I love business, right? It's just something that, like, I love it because people spend so much time at work. That I feel like it's a place where you need faithful leadership, people that are built on love and service, like, and you need that in a leadership position.
Yeah.
And I love serving customers. Like, I see the value, I see the ministry, I see the relationships that are built in business, and it's like, that's why it's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
But recently, I actually just got married, and my wife is from Pakistan. She's a remarkable person. Her family is a remarkable family, just super faithful, super loving. Like, and we actually got married in Pakistan. So I went out there, which my family was like, are you sure you guys don't want to have it here? I'm like, yeah, we'll be fine. So we get there to Pakistan.
So it was just you, right?
Just me.
You and your wife. And what's your wife's name?
Simrina.
Simrina.
Simrina, yeah. Samrina. And so she, and it's amazing because we get there, and I didn't have the beard yet, by the way. So, might add, this would have helped. I get there, and
they didn't blend in.
They didn't blend in
all.
at all.
Out like a sore thumb.
Everyone in the airport's looking at me. I get out of the car, and her family was there to greet us, and it was like the warmest welcome. And then we go through, like, you know, this little like IED checkpoint, and then we're like going to the house, and one of the guys there is like, they have not seen an American, you know, since like 2001 in certain places we're at. Like,
wow.
It's been a long time. So we go there, and I could see the genuine love of these people on the street. Because, like, keep in mind, Pakistan's like 98% Muslim, right? So there's like 2% that are Christian.
Yep.
Well, the Christians are very, they're like, they're put in like one location. They're very, you know, kind of oppressed in a way. So all the Christians are in one location. And the poverty level is very, very high. So there's a lot of poverty. So, like, just in the area that I was in, there's almost, like, 20 million people in the city. Do the math. Oh, like, gosh. What's New York? Like, 7, 8 yeah. million, something like that in New York. So, 20 million people in a city. Poverty is extremely high. Kids are running outside with no shoes on, jumping from roof to roof. Like, it was like a scene from a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see the genuine love and the faith of their family. And when I found out, like, man, there's so much, like, opportunity here. Because I said, why aren't these kids in school? It's, you know, it should be in school right now. She goes, actually, they can't afford school. They can't be in school because there is, you know, they can't afford it.
Yeah.
And then I was seeing this little girl was like 12 years old. She has like two siblings that's with her. And that girl's raising those two kids. The parents have like left. They're just on their own. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this is stuff you just don't see in the United States. And right there lit a huge heart because I'm like, for Christmas, I want to take care of all these kids. I want to buy everybody here new shoes. I want to be able to, excuse me, but I want to be able to, like, bring school into the home of this kid so he doesn't have to go to school. He can just study in his house.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do we accomplish that? And so I was telling my wife, I'm like, what's one of your dreams? She goes, I would love to have like a Christian school for kids to study. It's free in Pakistan. Wow. And I was like, you know what? Like that, like it just lit a fire. Yeah. After what I saw, it was one of those things that like, I want to take education into the homes of these children in Pakistan and these kids that don't have the education. They don't have the opportunity, and they're honestly, they're criticized way more than we are. Like in the United States, I can go out and be like, hey, I'm a Christian. How are you guys doing? In Pakistan, you're going to get looked at a little different if you try that. So that kind of, you know, that feeling that what I saw, everything that it was about, it was kind of lit a fire for me to where I want to come back into the United States. And I told her, I was like, I want this to be the kind of fuel, the why of like, why we build businesses and why we're here. You know, why am I going out and serving these customers every single day?
That's crazy.
And the goal is because we want to build a school, an education, we want to educate these kids so that they can be leaders in their own culture. Because I think too many, I'll say this right now, I think there's too many like organizations, too many people out there that are like, you know, hey, well, we want to give them an education, bring them to the United States.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. But at the same time, it's like, but if you make them a leader and you make them strong and then you bring them to a strong country, what does that do for all the broken countries mm-hmm. that are out there? Like the key is to make them strong and keep them there to build other strong leaders.
Yeah.
And to build businesses within Pakistan, to build these things, these cultures, like educate them where they're at, plant them right there.
The change has to happen
there.
Right there, yeah.
And I noticed that with my wife's family is like their house, where it was like a lighthouse. All the kids were coming up to the door. They would wave. They would laugh. And like my wife made a bunch of like parada, like food. You know, we go outside and we'd have like a bowl of food. And they're like just handing it out to all the kids, just running through the streets, just coming up and grabbing food. And we'd do like a whole like, it was like a whole like a huge bowl of food. Like we were just bread. We were just canning out to all these kids and they loved it. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, your house is like a lighthouse, like for these children. They love it. And I can tell that it's because of their faith. And obviously my wife's a lot like me with her relationship. She loves her faith is so strong. She just loves building relationships. And so for me, that was kind of my big mission.
Yeah.
And then to have a successful business here in the United States, because you have to admit, despite what anyone says right now, with all the crazy political stuff going on right now, United States is like what Rome was in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Okay, it's kind of like what Egypt was in the Old Testament. Like, we are the most prosperous place on the earth. Everyone's dream is to come here, build their dream, their business, provide for their family. Like, it's a great place to build your business.
Yeah.
And we're very blessed that we're here and being able to do that. So that, for me, is like, I want to build my business in Rome. And I want to feed the lost all the way around the world. Like, that's the end goal, is to build these schools, Christian schools, whether we have to do it on a tablet and convert it to their language or whatever. But that's, like, the big reason that kind of motivates me to put in those longer hours.
Man, I love it. I love it. That was a fantastic answer to a simple question, man. That is really good. And I can feel your heart and passion behind it. Mm. And I hope our listeners can feel the energy that you're exuding. Just not even telling that story, just in general, man. I know you're gonna be great, do big things.
Thank you.
And you'll be able to help a lot of people. That's really cool. Just friend to friend, you need to read or listen to the book Miracle on Voodoo Mountain. Have you
heard? I've not.
Miracle on Voodoo Mountain by Megan Boudreau. One of the best missional books that I've ever read, and talk about affecting change where someone is at.
Really?
It's powerful, man. And it also, it gives you a little glimpse of the omnipresence of God that we often forget about. You know, we come up with all these little plans and we forget we need to be faithful. We need to be taking action, but we also need to draw on the ultimate source, which is prayer to God, because he puts that fire in your heart. He gives you that purpose. He gives you that passion. So let him compound it and read that book, man. I promise you, you'll
that
be
is,
like,
I will. I'm going to check that out. I just wrote that down. That's awesome. And it's funny you say that, because that's my wife's like go-to line. Cause as a business owner, right, we all plan like, I'm a planner. This is my goal. So I want to have, I want to be at this point. I want to be doing this. I have all these plans. But my wife's favorite line is by God's will. She adds it to everything. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, I mean, you know what? I want to do this, or, hey, I was telling her this morning, and she's like, where are you going? I was like, actually, I have a podcast interview I'm going to meet. She's like, okay, well, good, have fun. I was like, yeah, it'll be great. She's like, yeah, by God's will. You know, and it's by God's will, if God wills it. And yes. She's like, because it's his plan, not yours. Yes. She has to remind me that sometimes.
Because if it's your plan, it's going to suck.
It's going to suck, exactly. It's always like, yeah, I have all these plans. I'm going to build, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And she's like, ah, those are God's plans. You're just helping him out. Don't forget that. And so in business, I think we do forget that quite. I mean, I know even there's days I do where I'm like, oh, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to get this done. I have to do this. And it's like, let God take care of it. Yep. You're just helping him out. He's building this
and
thing.
And it's a balance, right? Just like everything else. On the last show, we talked a lot about the balance of leadership.
Yeah.
Between, you know, accountability and a cozy culture. And so, same thing with this. It's a balance between action and what you can do and then putting it in God's hands. Mm-hmm. And you can't just sit there and pray about everything
and
expect God to bring it to you, but you also can't think, I did this. I created this. You know, I want to be in a place where I take as much action as possible.
Yeah.
But immediately give God the glory and lean on him for the results. And I think that's where we need to fall.
Hugely. And I'll kind of point to that. Paul writes that in Acts, where he talks about when Paul talks about kind of the, you know, how he was a tent maker, mm-hmm. and he built tents, yeah. you know, and he says faith without action, you know, is nothing. Like, you have to have action and faith. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Faith is demonstrated. And with Paul, he built tents, and he stayed with other tent makers on his ministry, and it was tied to his work. Yep. And there was I forgot what verse it was that talks about how, you know, he really at one point had so much money for making tents. He didn't even need money from the ministry. He was on his own, doing his own thing. And so for me, that was just a kind of a testament of, like, coming from Paul, a guy that wrote most of the New Testament, yep. Huge. I look up to Paul. He's one of my favorite people in the Bible. But the fact that he was also not just known as an apostle, he was known as a tent maker. He had a tent business.
Yep. He was doing the buzzword hustling.
He was hustling.
He was slinging tents. Yeah, you've got to be in the boat fishing for God to be able to give you so many fish that it almost sinks the boat.
Correct.
If you're not out there fishing, we can't miss that key point.
Correct.
So cool, man. I mean, anything else that you want to share that's on your heart?
No, just thank you for the opportunity to be on your podcast.
Yeah.
It's been real. Loved it.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for all the insights. And I know our audience is better for this.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.